here tonight.
It's on, Margaret. Just turn it up.
Hello? Hello? Well, you met my wife, Almeida. She shared with you that she just retired, and so we're enjoying traveling with her after all these years leaving her and the kids at home. We're getting used to one another on the road again. And we're so happy to be in Ohio. We came through this area one time a number of years ago, but this is our first time to be in this area, and we're happy to be here. And I met Oscar. I can call you Oscar, can I? Oscar and Jim here a few weeks ago down in North Carolina, and what a time we had. We enjoyed one another, and that's why we're so happy to come back and get to see them again. So we had some good breakfast, didn't we?
We sure did.
Hallelujah. But anyhow, we're glad to be with you folks tonight. And if you've come out to hear a new revelation, you come to the wrong place. For God has instructed me to move in an area of not revelations per se, but the needs of wings. And I would like to, and I'm a preacher, and I'd rather preach than teach, but the Lord has kind of instructed me to move in the arena of teaching. Because the things that he showed me, what little that I have seen about this place, God has some tremendous things that he desires out of you as a people. And the thing about God is when he requires something of us, he first of all imparts within us the ability to do it. And I'm sure that all of you know that when God speaks a word to you, he also speaks with that word the power to make it so. So you and I can become the very thing that God desires for us to become. Amen. And I want to share something before I start tonight. Something that happened to me years ago when I first started in the ministry. And I'd went out on the ministry trip, and back in those days we called it a revival. And so I held a couple of revivals, and I was ended up down in Arizona where my folks lived, and I was staying with them a few days before I went back to California to be with my wife. And I had an experience there that God just here recently, the last couple of months, brought back to my attention. And as I went to the bedroom where I was staying that night, I went sound asleep. And in the middle of the night, I suddenly woke up, and I couldn't breathe because I had a pair of hands around my throat, and they had apparently been there so long that I was about to pass out from a lack of oxygen. And the only thing that I knew to do was try to say Jesus, and my throat was so dry and swollen that I could not hardly move my tongue to say that word, but I got out the J after a short period of time, and the hands loosened a little. And then I continued struggling to get the name out, and finally I got the first three letters or so out, and the hands broke. And the condition of that room that I was in that night was so black that I could not see my hand in front of my face. But when those hands were broken, the room became natural darkness again, just a natural day, a sun, evening. And so the reason I'm sharing that with you at this time is because the things that God wants of us as a people has to do with something that's affected us and kept us from being what God wanted us to be. And this is that which God wants to release in our midst tonight. A release from that which is out to hinder us or to keep us from being what God wants us to be. And my brother here tonight said that to take my liberty. So I just want to be as honest as I can be in what God has spoken to my heart. And God has shown me that there has been spiritual forces that is trying to suck the life out of this place. And some of us, some of you have off and on been discouraged, have been spiritually down in the dumps, though you have a wonderful place. And there's a beautiful spirit here. So I'm not coming forth with condemnation. But God says that it is time now for this people to be released, hallelujah, into another dimension or a level of anointing. For the time is upon us when we are to become the visible manifestation of an invisible God. Beginning to walk upon the face of this earth, revealing unto this world who Christ is. And my wife sang a wonderful song about Christ in her, but Christ in her is now taking us into us being in Him. Us being in Him. How many of you have ever heard anyone speak or talk about the nature? And I was telling my brother here the other day, I says, have you ever known anybody that taught a rooster how to crow? Why does he crow? Because it's his nature. Something in him that God released in him, molded and shaped him to become in the process of his maturity, that causes him to crow and do the things that a rooster does. Ask him again, did you ever know anybody that could teach a dog how to bark? The same answer. They bark because it's their nature to bark. And you and I have been hearing about the revelation of Christ in us and us in Him for years. And most of us have probably done everything within our strength and in our power to make it so. We love the Lord that much. And God has permitted us to go through these situations and circumstances, most of the time failing or falling short in some way, to make us discouraged, or we find ourselves in a dilemma that sooner or later we have to get back before God and ask for forgiveness, say, Lord, help me. And the reason why we go through this struggle again and again and again is because the process of that God is doing within us has not been completed until this day. And that which He is completing is He is putting within us the fullness of His nature. And just like we can't teach a dog how to bark or a rooster how to crow, we can't teach ourselves how to live like Christ. We can struggle, we can strive, and we can hear revelation after revelation. We can run to and fro and here and there and everywhere looking to hear another word that will help us. But we always seem to fall short until this day. It's very important for us to see that we're talking about this day, not yesterday, but this day. And in this day, God is going to release something in us. Call His nature. How many of you can understand that a nature is stronger than an anointing? I can be old, ugly Dwayne Stewart and be anointed and be used of God. But I can also let that same anointing form and shape within me a nature that is removed from the nature I was born with. So you and I are getting ready to become something we've never been able to be. Hallelujah. And we've hung on. We've hung on through the thick and the thin, the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs, being encouraged and discouraged because we loved God. And we loved Him because He first loved us. Hallelujah. So will you bear with me tonight? If I keep out of the preacher mode and try to maintain a teaching mode here, because I think there's something that we want to hear. And God's going to release His hands from around our throat. Hallelujah. And we're going to start breathing again. The lady sang something about the air we breathed tonight, didn't she? We're going to start breathing again. He is the air we breathe. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to turn over. I hope you like Scripture. Because if you like Scripture, we're going to look at some. Because the Scripture is a lot better teacher than I am. Hallelujah. So if you don't have a Bible to follow with me, just listen to what's being said, okay? And we want to understand that restoration now is a continual process. And this continual process is bringing about that which God has purposed for us to become. But every journey has an end. And the end is when we come to the purpose that we went on that journey for. And God placed our feet upon a journey. And we've been walking this path for a number of years. But we've come to the end of the pathway. And at the end of the pathway, you and I are going to experience something that we've been walking towards all these long years. Whether it's 50 years or 10 days, we've been walking towards something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. A familiar scripture, most of us have read it many times. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And this bodies here doesn't mean just the flesh.
Yes, amen. That's true.
It means the whole man.
Yes.
Okay? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Now, that's a strong statement. How in the world could we live in a world and not have that world affect us? Hallelujah. See, there's something in us that responds to the world we live in. And that's what's got to be dealt with. Not mental gymnastics. Not changing our doctrine or getting a new understanding. But the thing that's within us that reaches out to respond to the world needs to be dealt with.
Yes, amen.
And the scripture shows us there's only one way to deal with it. You're not going to retrain it. It's not going to change its mind. Its nature is to respond to the world. And so we respond. But there's one way to overcome it. And that is through death.
Yes, amen.
That old dirty word. Hallelujah. So, it's our reason, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. There's a little key right there. There's a renewing that's going on, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, from this scripture, I want to bring up a few points here that really needs to stick within our craw. And we've heard them a million times because they're so simple. This scripture speaks of an appropriate response. An appropriate response from all believers. When God begins to move and we begin to feel the movements of God within our makeup, God's desire is that we respond appropriately. But religion has misguided are appropriating that which God desires. Are you with me? See, religion tells us there's all kinds of things that we can do to be holy. And none of those things will make us holy. The only holiness about us is the Spirit of God that dwells within. And if we give Him the liberty to do what He's been sent to do, we're going to be made holy. And we're made holy not because we obey a certain set of laws or doctrines and traditions, but we become holy because of a nature that is holy. Hallelujah. No matter how much I've tried, Jim, over my path, my walk, to be holy, the more I try to be holy, the more unholy I become. Why? Because God showed me a little bit more of myself. Hallelujah. I've told my wife many times. Hallelujah. I've been very fortunate. We got married in 1966. And she's never known me except to be a Christian. Before that time, she didn't know me. And I praise God for it. Hallelujah. Because she wouldn't have married me if she had known what I used to be. Hallelujah. So the scripture speaks about a certain appropriate response. We need to respond to Him appropriately. And this suggests a natural response to what? What do we all need? Mercy. So there's an appropriate response. And the only response that is appropriate is incorporating that which He gives freely. Mercy. Mercy. Hallelujah. And mercies from God allow a committing of ourselves to an act of pure spiritual worship. In mercy. Not because we act good, but because of mercy. Hallelujah. We learn how to appropriately respond in the form of spiritual worship. Now, that's not singing three songs and saying a bunch of hallelujahs. Worship is more than singing songs. And worship will do what the church has not been able to do yet. And that's enter into the throne room. Throne room. Hallelujah. There's a birthing into the throne room through worship. In the tabernacle in the wilderness that Moses established through the instruction of God, you could say it was the altar of incense moving behind the veil, being birthed into the holiness of God. Worship, spiritual worship. So we move in spiritual worship, and spiritual worship speaks of responding to God's truth. There's many so-called truths in the world, but God has a truth. And when we respond appropriately, respond to God's truth, this speaks of awakening in His loving kindness. Now, that's getting to the very foundation of what God is. If we're to become what God wants us to become, it doesn't make any difference how much knowledge we have. But if we awaken to what God is doing in our life, love becomes the foundation that we're built upon. How can we win a world without love? Right? You know, in my day, I've seen denominations come and go, and almost all denominations can be identified by the clothes they wear. And I'm not talking about these clothes, though that applies to some of them. If you want to sit down with a certain group of people that's argumentative, you know who they are. And just this one time, I'm going to tell you who they are. Jesus only. They love to argue. They love to fight, and that's the clothes that they wear. So that you can identify them, and you can do it through all different types of denominational situations and circumstances. But we're going to get into a scripture in a minute about some clothes that we can wear. Hallelujah. So is loving kindness. A response results in producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit that renews our soul. Now that's what we're after. The soul. Renewing our soul. The soul, and I know this is down on a simple level, but this is what we need right now for what God's doing. Soul is the mind, the emotions, the will, and desires. Every man's soul operates in those four categories. This is how we respond to the world, right? Through the mind, through the will, through emotions and desires. This renewing then separates us from a godless system called self. A godless system called self. Hallelujah. Are you guys with me?
Amen.
See, God's after something in us, and we're living in another day when self can't operate. Okay? Hallelujah. A separation that transforms. When we begin to separate ourselves from self, something is being transformed in us that renews our mind to prove God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. So what's God looking for in us today? What is God looking for in you and I? Now, let me tell you something. There's one thing I don't like about certain doctrines. For most of them that I've ever heard, especially, and I'm going to throw this one out, the doctrine of the rapture, is what I don't like about it, I'm not preaching against it or for it or whatever. That's not my affair. But what it does is it puts God so far off, you never get to him. Everybody's putting it off until tomorrow or till one day in the sweet by and by. God's going to take us out of here. So if I can just hold on, Jim, if I can just hold on until that day finally arrives, then I'll be safe. But what we need to do is we need to begin to listen to what God's Word says about being a God of the now. And God never limits himself to a people that are willing to have faith in what he's doing now. And he's doing something now. And we're living in a time in God and a season in God that has caused us to come in to the ending of one age and an entering into another age. The ending of one day and entering into another day. So you and I are right now tonight probably have 1 foot in one age and 1 foot in another age. And what that does is makes us fence riders. Hallelujah. We've got one mind in one world and one mind in another world. And what God wants us to do is to make up our mind.
Yes, amen.
What we want to do. And if we want to live in his world, we'll find ourselves being stripped by God.
Yes.
Just through an anointing or just through the handiwork of God as he reaches out and touches us and brings change just like that. And in that change, we can begin to enjoy the fullness of our purpose. Hallelujah. And in a minute, I'm going to try to give you a definition of being made perfect. Doesn't the scripture say, be ye therefore perfect? How? Even as your Father in heaven is as perfect. Now, this is not talking about way down the road. That's a now word. It's a present tense word. It's present tense because God spoke it and we heard it. So we can become perfect even as he is perfect. Hallelujah. So renewing our mind by yielding to the Holy Spirit speaks of a change in our thought pattern. We begin to think differently. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, my son, what time we got to quit? My son, for a long, well, since he got out of the service, has been involved with contracting. And he owned a contracting business. And for a period of time, God released me to go work with him. And during that time, I enjoyed it. So much so. But during that time, I was an estimator. And during that time, I'd estimate. You know where my thought patterns were? On estimating. All that's involved in figuring up the cost to build or do whatever we were doing so that we'd make a profit. Now, we're of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. What does that mean? You know, am I supposed to tell our brother here that he couldn't spend 20, 30 years, however long it was, doing the job he did? So you and I are in a dilemma. Unless we allow the Holy Spirit freedom to let him make the change necessary within us to where our thought pattern changes. That's right. Our thought pattern changes. This thought pattern change is renewing points. The renewing points to a birthing into divine order as established by God. Now, if you'll come out in the morning, I want to do some teaching on divine order as established by God. Okay? So what we want to do is let the Holy Spirit have freedom. Okay? And I want to tell you something. If anybody in this place tonight has need of a healing, it's here. If anybody in this place tonight has something in your life that you could consider a bondage, deliverance is available. Amen. All these things are available if we want to appropriate it and administer it them. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Amen. So, divine order provides a provision of power. Now, if we're out of order with God, we can lay a hand on the sick all we want to. But if we're moving in divine order, and God moves in a direction and we follow, power is released. Now, you want to know what's going to attract the world out here to God? It's you in Him exercising His power. And that power is a throne room power, and He delegates that authority to you and I. It's a delegated authority, and as we walk in divine order that God appropriates for any group of people or any individual, the miraculous and the supernatural begins to take place in the midst of that people. For wherever God is, the supernatural is operating. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys got another 2 hours? Just kidding with you. This people become a class of people called the overcomers. Now, you've heard about overcomers all your life, right? To him that overcomes, I will grant. I will do. Okay, so we're talking about a people that are overcomers. Hallelujah. Who take on and become the nature of Christ. And that's what we're after, His nature. Manifesting through us. We won't have to learn how to act like Christ. We won't have to cover ourselves up with skins from animals anymore. But God's going to dress us. Hallelujah. When I finish tonight, I want to read a verse of scripture out of John, the 17th chapter, the 21st verse. But before we get there, we want to turn to Revelation 3, 17 and 18. As usual, babe, I didn't bring a handkerchief. Hallelujah. Thank you. I appreciate that. It says, because you say, this is Revelation, the 3rd chapter, 17th verse through the 18th. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Kind of underline that part. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. And so the richness he's talking about here is not money in the bank. Talking about a different kind of wealth. Okay? And white garments. And white garments. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That you may be clothed. So we're going to talk about some different kind of clothes. Okay? Hallelujah. That the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Now notice the condition here, wealthy. It's declaring or talking more in the line of being rich in the God's ways. Now these people were saying they were wealthy, but they weren't. But God says, I will make you rich. In other words, he says, I'm going to give you that which I am. Right? Okay. And if we can begin to believe and have faith in that, I think God was telling us, Brother Oscar up in North Carolina, faith is substance. Substance is something I can teach, I can touch and feel. Yeah. It's not a vapor. So if we desire the richness of God, it's not something that we're desiring independent from Him. It's something that He desires to give unto us. Oh, maybe in the sweet by and by. Maybe somewhere down the road, I'll mature enough spiritually to inherit those things. Well, we're somewhere down the road. We've arrived to that point. There's no more tomorrows. Hallelujah, as far as coming into the fullness of our inheritance. God has a people. It's called the first fruits, the man child, the witnesses, and many other things. Joe's army that's coming forth in this hour. Not next 20 years from now, but this hour. Hallelujah. And God is reaching out. His eyes are running to and fro across the earth, trying to spy out for a man, looking for a man. Not a singular man, but a many-membered man that's united in one mind and one accord, and suddenly, hallelujah, hallelujah. So we want to notice the condition. While they claim to be rich, they are, in essence, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now that's a contrast just simply between the flesh and the spirit, right? That's all it is. So if we're spiritual, and if the spirit is consuming the whole man, we're rich. But if we're walking around obeying the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, we're wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked. No covering. White garments is spoken of in this word is what we need. We're putting on white garments. That's a putting on of the righteousness of Christ by transformation into His glory. By being transformed into His glory. Hallelujah. So He also anoints the eye with eye salve, and that's a need to see clearly the open heavens. Now, the heavens are not going to open. The fourth chapter of Revelations talks to us about the heavens open, and John, God spoke to John and said, come up hither. I want to show you some things. Now, I know most of you have heard Revelation all of your life, but there's something God wants to show you. Something God wants to show you. Revelation becomes knowledge. What God is looking for is the manifestation of that revelation. And why can we not believe if God calls us something today, we can become it today? Not because what we have done, but because of what He's done in us. Hallelujah. We're never going to qualify after our own efforts and strength and abilities and talents. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we need to be separated. Separated from self and the flesh, okay? I told you this wasn't a new revelation, didn't I? So a separation transforms us into renewing our minds. Renewing our minds. Be ye transformed how? By the renewing of our minds. Do you want transform? Well, it's not going to come by perhaps next year. Is it? There's no perhaps here. We either believe it or we don't believe it. Now, perhaps is just the easy way of saying, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. Hallelujah. So what's God looking for today? What is He looking for? Hallelujah. To sum it up, He's looking for a visible expression of an invisible God. Hallelujah. He's not going to send another son to die on the cross. That's already happened. But He's going to birth many sons. Hallelujah. We need to renew our mind by yielding to the Holy Spirit. That speaks of a change in our thought patterns. Again, this renewing points to a birthing into the divine order. Hallelujah. And I'm going to go on over here where I need to be. Lukewarmness. You remember that word in the Revelation? It's called because you're lukewarm. Hallelujah. How many of you know God hates gray areas? Either get in or get out is what God's saying. Get in or get out. If you're lukewarm, He's going to spew you out anyhow. So hallelujah. You know, I'm an old farm boy, redneck from Texas and Arizona. And most of my life knows about things like riding fences. Riding horses. And it can get very uncomfortable sometimes. One time we was chasing a herd of cattle down. And I must have been half asleep that day when I saddled my horse, because we was riding along and all of a sudden my saddle just slipped all the way underneath his belly. And there I was hanging on upside down. And I said, what am I going to do? And I says, Ben, if I let go, his hoofs are going to hit me. But that's all I could do. So I let go. He didn't hit me, but man, I sure hurt. We need to take care, don't we? I want you to notice 1 Corinthians 13:9-10. Let's take notice here. Now we're talking about change, aren't we? Hallelujah. And I know some of us in this place tonight desire change, but we just can't seem to find it anywhere. But God wants to give it to you tonight. Okay? He wants change to be brought about in our life tonight. Notice what it says here, the 9th verse. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Now, when is perfect coming? When is perfect coming? Let me give you a little explanation here. How many of you believe that when you were born from your mother's womb, you had a purpose? And that purpose was of God. And so, during the process of our lifestyles that we've lived through all these years, God's been desiring to work out that purpose. And whether we rebelled or yielded or whatever the situation might be, God's purpose was that we would become the expression of that purpose. That's perfection. Not you being like me or me like you, but you being like God wanted you to be. And when we let God work out our purpose in us, we're perfect. Hallelujah. Just like a dog is perfect and a rooster is perfect, you and I become perfect sons of God, manifesting no longer Dwayne Stewart born from Donna Bell Stewart in 1940, but I become the son of God with an inheritance that is rightfully mine because God made it available unto me. Hallelujah. Now, when is that inheritance available? When I come into my purpose. You hear me? When we come into our purpose, that which we were birthed from our mother's womb for, we come into the fullness of that purpose, and then God releases all that He is through Christ in us. Okay, so this speaks of changing from corruption to incorruption. Then from mortal to immortal. The question everybody asked, is this the time? Is it time for us to put on incorruption? Well, if you're looking out here, you're going to get no. But who are you looking to?
Yes, amen.
Who are you looking to? Is it time to put on immortality? If you're looking out here, you know one thing about Enoch, he didn't look out here. He walked with God. And one day he was just no more. Well, if it that was before Jesus came. Well, it might have even been before the law. But he walked with God. Okay, so if we allow the Holy Spirit to perform in us the completion of our purpose, then incorruption and immortality is available. Okay? Now, if each one of you received a letter from the lawyer in the morning, or Monday morning in your post box, saying that you received an inheritance, but it's not yours until you come and get it. Well, I know one thing we'll all do, wonder what the inheritance is. Right? And if it we read on down in the fine print and it says you're going to receive $500,000 from so-and-so, most of us would contact the lawyer immediately to receive. Now, what we need to understand is we have an inheritance that's now made available.
Yes, amen.
We've got the letter in the post box.
Yes, that's true.
And some of us has read it. But we ignore it sometimes. Are you with me? This points to becoming alive to the heavenly sphere. I was talking to Jim the other day about two worlds. There's this world and the world where God lives. So what we're talking about, which world do you want to live in? Which world do you want to live in? One world is not going to come, it's here. And the other world is not going to come, it's here. Which world do you want to live in? John 3:3 says this. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." So the kicker is being born again. There's another thing that makes me angry. That is that the denominational church system has appropriated this thought and passes it down the line to everybody. And that is the moment you ask God to forgive you of your sins, you're born again. Well, that's belittling the completion of the new birth that God's talking about. And a large portion of denominationalism, that's as far as they go. And that makes me angry. Because God says that we were going to be born again. And the beginning is asking Him into our life and forgiveness of our sins. Hallelujah. So let's go on down now here. It says, you must be born again is a statement of change the church world has left unfulfilled. It's been left unfulfilled, and most of the time because they're putting it off till the rapture. Okay? Isn't that right? Am I saying the truth? It's being put off till tomorrow. Hallelujah. And I hope, well, I won't say that. Could it be because of a lack of understanding? Do they really understand, or is the teaching been a little bit faulty? Hallelujah. So, being birthed of the flesh is simply that which is wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You know, you can go to church all the time and be wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked, right? Or you can be birthed of the Spirit, born of the Spirit. That includes man's spirit, his soul, mind, will, emotions, desires, and his body. Well, Brother Dwayne, I've never seen anybody walking around in a glorified body. Well, how can you see anybody in a glorified body when you haven't put eye salve on your eyes? Some of you have seen angels, right? The same God that opened your eyes to see angels, can you open your eyes to not only see a people walking in a glorified body, but become one that walks in a glorified body? Are you guys with me? Okay. Birth of the Spirit then includes the body, soul, and spirit. A birth that refines in the fire until receiving new garments. This new garment is a new body. It's glorified. It's supernatural. And it can go like the wind. Hallelujah. It doesn't sit in one spot having to open doors. I told my wife here a little while back, you may not know, but I have a lot of contacts. I go over to Africa and Europe quite a bit from time to time. And I told her one day I come home, I said, I'm never flying on another airplane. I'm tired of them. You know, 23, 25, 28 hours on an airplane will do you in when you only got seats no bigger than this. I told her, I says, the next time God wants me to go to Africa, it's going to be this way. Are you with me? Now, he may change my mind before that happens, but it's going to be this way. So, let's read John. Did I read John 3:8? No, that's the next one. The wind flows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. Now, why did we miss this? So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. When I knelt down to the altar in Napa, California, umpteen dozen years ago, and asked God to forgive me of my sins and come into my life, he filled me with the Holy Spirit, I couldn't walk through that door. But a born-again one can. Are you with me? A born-again one can, because this scripture confirms it. Hallelujah. Jesus did it. Didn't he? Hallelujah. John 5:39-40. Now, before I read that, I want to throw this out. Our mindset is what rules over us. What our mindset is, that's what rules over us. And our mindset is the results of things taught, our environmental upbringing, knowledge passed down from past generations, and things we've experienced in however long we've lived. That forms our mindset, okay? In addition, dogmas, doctrines, and traditions established from half-truths and degrees of deception form our mindset. And our will is very strong. And we get stubborn about those things that we know, that we have learned. And bless God, that's the way my grandfather believed it. And I'm going to believe it that way. Well, it might be good enough for him, but he might have been living in the fifth day. I don't know about you, but I hear the trumpet of the seventh day loud and clear. And a people are stepping over the threshold of the sixth day into the seventh. And as they step over that into that day, they're going to find themselves being that which they've never been able to become up to this day. That is, a people becoming the invisible expression of a visible expression of an invisible God. This world is crying out for God. And they're crying out and looking for Him in all the wrong places. They're looking for Him in alcohol. They're looking for Him in drugs. They're looking for Him in illicit sex. They're looking for Him in all manners of illicit activities and can't find Him anywhere. But there's something driving them into those areas trying to find God. But I want to tell you something. There's getting ready for a man to appear. And this man's going to appear moving in the supernatural of God, and it's going to become an allurement. And this world that's looking for God in all the wrong places are going to suddenly begin to see a people walking in the nature, in the glory of God, and they're going to say, that's what I've been looking for. There's a whole harvest that God's getting ready to bring in as His first fruits people begin to walk and take their place. Hallelujah. And God's saying, it's yours tonight. It's yours tonight. Not next week or not next year. Begin to walk in it tonight. Hallelujah. This is the day. Hallelujah. John 5, 39 through 40. Now follow me here. We have all kinds of knowledge and understanding of Scripture, don't we? Well, listen to this. You search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you might have life. Knowing Scripture doesn't mean we have life. But Scripture testifies of Him. And as we seek Him, He gives us life. Hallelujah. God don't want us in our office trying to memorize 50 more verses today. Read the Scripture. Don't give up reading the Scripture. But know that it's just simply a testament. A testament of Him. And He's willing to show you who He is. And when we begin to see Him, 1 John 3:2 says, when you see Him as He is, you will become like Him. How do you see Him? Is He a God afar off, sitting in a throne room somewhere way out yonder in the universe? Or is He a God that dwells within? A God that dwells right here. And you and I can lay down in our bed tonight and we can start talking to the God that lives right here. We can tell Him, man, I messed up today, God. I'm sorry for what I did, but help me and change me and transform me that people might begin to see You in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And most of all, we'll get to in a minute, us in Him. Hallelujah. So, this speaks of a need for us to know Him, not just about Him. I could tell you some stories, friends. I know preachers that can quote Bible verse after Bible verse, hour upon hour, without ever opening the Word. But look at their lifestyle. They know the verse, but they don't know who the verse testifies of. You guys follow me? Life does not come from learning Scripture only. Scripture that remains a law produces death. That's why some of us feel dead sometimes. We are. Hallelujah. Now, remember, I said I'm not bringing condemnation, no way, shape, or form. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. Hallelujah. But we're dead sometimes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And sometimes we testify to that death. Oh, woe is me. Man, you should have seen what I went through this week. The old devil been beating me around the head all week. That used to, remember when we had testimony services, Jim? Devil's been beating me around the head all week, bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Where am I at? John, 2 Corinthians 2:6. 2 Corinthians 2:6. Who hath made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant in 2016? Doesn't say that, does it? This is a present tense word. We are ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Hallelujah. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This speaks of a need to come into a relationship with the Word that's been made flesh. Now, I hope you agree with me when I say this, that the flesh is going to, the Word's going to appear in the flesh again. The Word made flesh. So if the Word's made flesh again, what's that mean? That means the nature of Christ is manifesting. He's appearing again. He's appearing again. Hallelujah. In and through a people. And when they see us, they're not going to see Dwayne or Oscar or our sister there that played the piano. Who are they going to see? Him. Christ. Hallelujah. This speaks of a need to come into a relationship with the Word, the flesh. That's been made flesh. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even as we believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, I don't know if you'll agree with me about this or not, but if you're moving in self, you're moving in the law. And the law produces death. So if our Christian walk, we can call ourselves Christian, is after the flesh or religious doctrines and traditions and bylaws and constitutions, we have no relationship with life. Now this is important, because if we allow God to move us out of this building, out of this place, not necessarily leave it forever, but out of this place, quit having church just here, but have church everywhere we go. My wife can tell you I used this as an example one time. How many of you know, these people know that my wife likes to go to Walmart. That's where she can do everything she wants and get her groceries there too. So, we're talking about a people that can go to Walmart. And as his people walk down the aisle, over on this aisle and this aisle, people are just falling out in the Spirit. Why? Because the presence of God is there. Yeah. Don't tell me that's not possible. Because the revival that broke out over in Scotland broke out because people walking down a path nowhere near a village would fall out in the Spirit. And that's what God's going to do again. Because there's a presence within this people that's going to break forth from out of this grave and appear again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Along with Philippians 3:10 through 11, we need to agree with Paul in this matter, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What's his resurrection? Hallelujah. He come out of that grave not the same as when he went in, did he?
Yes, amen.
So the power of his resurrection is more than just becoming alive again to the same thing you was before, isn't it? Hallelujah. So we're going to come up out of this grave. Hallelujah. Being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul was probably the greatest apostle that walked the earth. It was in his day anyhow. And he says that I may know him. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. We need to know. Knowing him is for us to overcome death, hell, and the grave. Okay, let me go on down through here quickly. John 14, 12 through 14 says this. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. In 2020. Doesn't qualify it, does it? This says, he who believes in me, do you believe in him? You're going to do the same works he did. Okay, you believe that? And greater works than these will you do. Greater works. Because I go to my Father, and whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, this name is speaking more of Jesus than just the title called Jesus. Talking about the nature, right? So if you ask anything in my nature, the nature of Christ, I'm going to do it. Is the nature of Christ available to you and I? Well, according to Scripture, it is. Do we believe in a God that's afar off only? Or do we believe a God that lives within? The kingdom of God is within you. And he's within the kingdom. Where's the throne room of God? In his kingdom. And God is saying, I'm giving you the delegated authority has been given unto you. A delegated authority that you might go forth and do likewise. It was said of Jesus, he was under the same restrictions we have been. I only do those things that I see my Father do. I only say those things that I hear my Father say. Oh, I can go home and pull out a filing cabinet before I got rid of them all and pull out any number of sermons. When I pastored a church, I could have went to them any Sunday morning I wanted to and pull them out and re-preach them again and again and again. But that's not what God's talking about. God's talking about a people who are becoming the Word. They are becoming the Word. Made glorified flesh. Hallelujah. Moving in the Spirit of God in this day and in this hour. John 3:34, then we need to know, knowing him, in knowing him, are you, a question, ready and willing to be sent forth as a born again one? Are you ready and are you willing? Wrote an article one time entitled, Are You Willing to Become the Fullness of God? You know, that you'd be surprised how many kingdom so-called people are not willing to become God's fullness. Why? Because it cost us something. It cost us something. Hallelujah. John 3:34. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. God does not give the Spirit by measure. You got the Spirit? This scripture says if you are sent, you have the words. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 4:19 through 20. But I come to you shortly. If the Lord wills, I will know not the words of those who are puffed up, but the power. The power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, not in power. And I'm going to start winding this up now, but I want you to hear what God has been trying to say to us tonight. Hear and believe and go forth from this place different than when you came. Not because there's been anything wrong with you. Hallelujah. What you have been has got you where you are tonight. But simply because God's ready and willing and able to put us into another level. And this level is not just going to affect the spirit and the soul. Amen. This level is going to transform the body. And it's going to bring up here. You know why our bodies aren't transformed yet? Because we haven't allowed the soul to complete its process. When we begin to believe and receive and walk, hallelujah, then you become an allurement, as I said earlier, to draw people. You know what allurement means? Strong attraction. They're looking for something, and suddenly you appear, and you're that strong attraction. I don't know what there is about you, brother, but whatever you got, I want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So born-again people manifesting the visible expression of God, a Christ nature coming forth full of God's basic principle, love, love, love. So this love is living and manifested in spirit. In the spirit is the throne room authority of God. Okay? In the soul manifests the Christ nature unto all men. First of all, in the mind, it's the mind of Christ. Not our mind, but the mind of Christ. Not our will, but living in God's will. I only go where you want me to go. I only do what you want me to do. Okay? Emotions responding to every event, even as Christ Jesus responds. You know, my wife, we've been married for a lot of years, and she knows what buttons to push to get a response out of me. You know what? Well, Satan does too, or the enemy, whatever you want to call him. He can push certain buttons, but this new man's going to respond the way Jesus would. We might lean down and ride a little bit in the sand. Where's your accusers at now, brother? Emotions, though, is emotions and responding the way Jesus responded. And desires is only the perfect purpose of God. Our desires remain only the purpose of God. The body. Hallelujah. Born again body is a glorified body revealing the Christ to the world as they establish the kingdom of God. You know what your purpose is? To establish the kingdom. You can establish the kingdom only if you're a king. And God's made us kings and priests. Hallelujah. Thus the whole man in speaking of is speaking of and becoming a people who remain in Him, who remain in Him to manifest the supernatural of God. Now, this is a prayer that Jesus prayed as we wind up with this scripture. Jesus prayed this prayer, and the question I ask people many times is there ever been a prayer Jesus prayed that's not answered? No, He wouldn't be God if it's that way. So if Jesus prayed for this prayer, you can take it to the bank, brother. Okay? Now notice what it says. That they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in you. This is the prayer Jesus is praying. Oh, hallelujah. That we may be one, even as they're one, Brother Jim. That they also may be one in us. One in us, in Him. In Him. In His nature, manifesting itself through this tabernacle. And notice this, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Not you, not me, but Him. Hallelujah. Now, friends, God is prepared to move us. He's prepared to move us on into a place in Him that we have not walked before. And I want to tell you this. If you begin to walk every place you put your foot, God's going to give it to you. You got sick and afflicted folks, walk it. You got neighbors that don't know Him, put your foot on it. Every place you begin to put your foot, God says, I'm going to give it to you. And He not only said that, but He said, I'm going to go before you. And I'm going to prepare the way. And as I go to prepare a way, then I'm going to send you. And who I'm sending goes forth in the Spirit without measure. That means you'll lack nothing, nothing. Everything will be at your disposal. But it's only at our disposal, but when we act upon it. What do you think would have happened if Jesus would have never obeyed God and spoke to that man at the pool of Bethesda, he'd still be waiting for somebody to put him in the pool.
Yes, amen. That's right.
But Jesus responded. Hallelujah. You know, if it'd been me sitting there, I'd have been ate up with butterflies. Oh, God, is that really you? Do you really want me to do something like that? We've got to learn how to respond to God and see His handiwork. Hallelujah. And I'm going to throw this out as a close. Hallelujah. How many times has God spoke to you to do something and you didn't do it? And we miss seeing the handiwork of God when we refused it. Father, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for your presence. We're so thankful for the things that you have spoken unto us, your people. And we have great expectancy that we're going to see the salvation of the Lord in a full measure in our midst. For even as you have spoken it, so shall it be unto us. We believe in your word. We believe in who you are. And we believe that you desire of us to come forth in a full measure. For this is the day of the Lord that you've spoken of, that you declared unto us, and you've revealed unto us the mighty acts that are going to come forth during this day. And we ask, Father, that you would strengthen us, encourage us, and enable us to respond to you and go forth accordingly, that we might see the handiwork of God, that we might begin to see the kingdom, push back this realm of darkness, and see the light of God begin to spring forth in our midst in a way that we've never seen it before. And we thank you, Father, in your precious holy name. Amen and amen. God bless you, folks. I hope to see you in the morning.